Please open your Bibles with me today to Romans. If you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Romans. Today we're going to be in Romans chapter 12. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Romans chapter 12. We're going to be starting with verse 9. The title of our sermon today is Valentine's Day, Love in Action. Valentine's Day, Love in Action. Looking at Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 9 is where we'll be. God's word says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints and given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you today, God, and we thank you first and foremost for your word, God. What a blessing it is to have your written word that we can study, that we can read, that we can pray through. God, that we can go through in our times of joy and rejoicing, and we can look at and seek in our times of weeping, Lord, and mourning. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you also for your people, for people that love you, Lord, that sacrifice themselves daily to live for you, to witness for you. God, to live the life you've called us to live. Lord, I pray that you continue to encourage us in loving others the way that you first loved us. God, I pray for those that are suffering today. Maybe they're healthy, maybe they're feeling good, but maybe there's others, Lord, that are suffering because they're not feeling good. Maybe they're feeling bad, Lord. Maybe there's someone who's injured, like Brother Thomas's relative, God, with this dislocated elbow. Lord, we just pray for her as a church today, Lord, that she would be helped, God. Lord, there's so many people that are going through trials and tribulations, God. We can't even name them all, but we know that you know them, Lord. And so, God, we just ask for your glory and guidance and help there too. God, I pray most today, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that doesn't know what true love is, that doesn't know what unconditional love is, that, God, they would see it in me as I share your word, God, and as I tell us, as we talk about what true love really is today, Lord. God, I thank you for sending your only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins, God, so that we could be healed, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have grace and be with you in eternity in heaven someday. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you do for us. For it's in your holy and precious name we all pray. Amen. Amen. So this Tuesday is Valentine's Day. That's a hint for you, fellas. If you haven't already got your stuff, getting stuff the day after just isn't so romantic. No, I haven't figured out why, because especially if you're one of those couples where, man, you don't have the $40 to buy the big teddy bear. It's not that you don't want to buy it. It's just $40 for a big teddy bear. You see, if you just wait till the day after Valentine's Day, you could call it like, you know, after Valentine's Day or something. I don't know, come up with a clever name for it. Then you get that bear for $20. Now that's a deal. So is that true love, Ariel?
No.
No, denied. See, so what you need to do, gentlemen, especially you, Anthony, is take a picture of the big teddy bear and text it to her and be like, baby, I saw this at Walmart and I was thinking of you. And it'll be the same thing. It'll mean just as much. And for you, those of you women that want to be married or proposed to, you know, what you need to do is just have your boyfriend take a picture of that ring and send it to you and say, I would give it to you, but I can't afford this one, so here's the 25-cent one out of the bubblegum machine. I guess what I'm saying is Valentine's Day is coming up in a couple of days. And Valentine's Day is a neat day, but it's a hard day. If you go and you look at those cards, boy, there are some sappy ones. They just don't fit our personalities, do they? Seems like some of the card writers, they just don't get it. I look at those and I try to find a good Valentine's Day card for my wife, Brother Ron. And you know, most of them, when they come from men, they start out apologizing. That's bad news. If you have to apologize to your wife on Valentine's Day, you've already done something wrong those other 350 some odd days, right? It starts out with something like this. It says, dear, I know I don't tell you how much I love you enough. Like, why do they all start out with, I'm not the man I should be? Like, no, I don't want to insult myself when I give a Valentine's Day card. I want to give one that says, honey, I love you. You mean the world to me. I would do anything for you. But all these men ones, they start out apologizing. So guys, it's hard to find the perfect Valentine's Day card. I don't know what the women's one looks like because I haven't looked through them. But maybe next year I'll get Shannon one that's supposed to be for wives, or I mean husbands, and I'll just cross out the husband and put wife up there. I don't know. But anyway, finding that teddy bear with the perfect smile, that's another strategy. I'll tell you, I like those little stuffed animals. I just think they're cute. And around Valentine's Day, they get adorable. But they make these things in bulk. I mean, they have thousands of them at Walmart. You have to pick them up and look because some of them don't have that smile, you know, sewed right. And so they're kind of like, I mean, you don't want to give your loved one someone with a weird smile, right? Or there was one that said, be my, and there was no N-E, like some kid ripped off the string or something. So it just said B-M-I, and I'm like, what is that? Or maybe that's some new texting thing I'm just not familiar with. But anyway, it's different. It's hard to do the right thing. And when you love someone, you want your love to show them that you love them. So you want to get them a card or flowers or chocolate, something sweet, something different. You know what I got for my wife this year was something a little different. I wanted something unique. I got her some nice little things, but I want to share one thing with you that I got her that I thought was unique. Anybody ever play with a Viewmaster when you were a kid? You know those things you hold up and you put the little slide in and you do little things? Well, they make custom ones you can buy. Now, they take 4 to 6 weeks, so guys, you can't get it done this year, but maybe next year. But they take 4 to 6 weeks to get, but you can put special pictures on that Viewmaster of whatever it is that you would like. And so I started out with our 10th anniversary with me holding up this heart rock that I found in Ireland, and then I went every 2 years since then to meet to our 22nd anniversary. But it turned out to be a really neat Valentine's Day present, I think. Did you like it, honey? I don't know. She looks at me like I'm weird right now. But hopefully she liked it. But anyway, you want to find something unique because this is a time you express your love to each other. You know, the sad thing, though, is in America, we typically just use this as a day to express our love. And the rest of the day, we're not being as loving as we can be to our neighbors, to our wives, to our friends. And so today I want to talk about love. And so we hear the word love. It's simple. It's a four-letter word. It should be easy to understand, but yet it has profound meanings. I mean, what does love mean? Anybody want to share? What does love mean? Let's ask a lady. Becky, what does love mean to you?
Well, what love means to me is spending quality time together. And a lot of it is what it says in the Bible. When you love completely. You don't just love for a minute or two.
Yeah. That's good. Dave is taking notes, so memorize that. Good job, Brother Dave. All right. That's good. What does love mean to somebody else? Who else wants to share what love means? Yes, Tamara.
Putting someone else above yourself.
Yeah, putting someone else first. That's absolutely. Love is amazing. See, how can one four-letter word mean so many different things? But it does mean self-sacrificing love. That's putting the one you care about in front of your needs. And as a husband and wife, that should be your goal. As a man, you should put your wife's needs above your needs. And as a woman, you should put your husband's needs above your needs. That way, both your needs get met and you're living the design merits that God has for you. But so love means that. Love means spending time together. Love is emotional. Love is physical. Love is just all kinds of different things. So it's no wonder we get confused when somebody uses that word love, right? So when I think about love, I think about love is a verb. It propels you to take an action. If you love somebody, you're going to do something for them, right? Would you agree with that? And so if you think about it in this term, love for mankind. Love for mankind sends firefighters and police officers into dangerous situations. Certainly isn't the pay. It's the love for mankind. Love for human life. That sends mommies and daddies to be able to give, and doctors and nurses to be able to give of their time and to be able to help one another. You know, love propels people to give financially, to be able to give of the gifts and their talents that they were blessed with, especially when there's big disasters like tornadoes or hurricanes or things like that. What propels all these people to go around the world and help is love. Love causes us to help one another whenever you have just want to make someone's day. I mean, whether it's a smile you give a cashier or a waitress, whether it's a dollar for a man or a woman that's in need for a meal, or whether it's a hug to a person that has a broken heart. Love propels us to action. romantic love for one another. Boy, that's special. The Bible dedicates a whole book towards it. If you read the Song of Solomon, you'll know what I'm talking about. But romantic love for one another, you know what that does? It gives us that extra oomph to risk it all when we want to ask that special woman or that special man to go on a date. I don't know if you all remember that. Many of you have been married for many years. But as a young person, boy, that's one of the biggest fears we have, is that rejection. You work yourself up. But love causes you to go over that and to be able to ask. Love gives us the courage to propose when we're terrified that they may say no. Every time I see a proposal, it's always a terrifying experience. I want it to be a beautiful, loving experience, but every time I've seen one, it seems like it's terrifying because you see the man get on one knee and there's usually just hundreds of people around. And then you look at the girl's face and it's always confused. And then you wonder like, please, Lord, let this woman say yes for this man's sake. I don't even know this man, but I couldn't bear it if she said no. But love is what causes you as a man to get down on your knee and to proclaim that and to ask that. Love is powerful. It propels us into action. You know, in the King James Version of the Bible, love is used 310 times. I'm telling you, this is a Valentine from the Lord. It's used 131 times in the Old Testament and 179 times in the New Testament. And so love in the English language has all kinds of different meanings. But if you're looking at love just from biblical standpoint, there's a couple of words that are used in the Hebrew, and there's a couple of words in the Greek that talk about what love really is. And now, this is kind of a history lesson, but it's important for us to understand the kind of love that the Bible talks about as well. In the Old Testament, there's a word that is translated eb, and it's a Hebrew word. And its closest meaning in English would be like the love that you have between people, like a husband and wife's love or a parent and a child love, like an intimate love. Then the second is an agape love. That's used in the New Testament, and that's a Greek word. And so this agape love is this Christian type of love. It's this love that you're supposed to care for your fellow brother or sister regardless of what you think of them. But you're supposed to care for them just like the Lord cares for you. You're supposed to have this unconditional love that wants to help them, that wants to bring them to Jesus. And then there's this third love called filio. And this means like to love in an emotional way, in an impulsive way. In John chapter 21, verse 15 through 17, Jesus talks to Peter and he says, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And he uses the agape word, which is like Christian love me. And Peter answers, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But he uses the word filio, which means emotional love. And so it's interesting that love can have so many meanings. If we were to go by each single person here in the church today, everyone would probably give us a little bit different definition of love. But I don't know if you've ever seen that Bill Cosby show, Kids Say the Darndest Things, but I love what kids say. Because kids, they're just honest and open, and they crack me up. Here's what a couple of people said. Josh said, my son, love is when my dad washes the dishes for my mom. Amen. That is the truth. There's this person, May, and she's age 8. She said, no one is sure why it happens, but I heard it has something to do with how you smell. That's why perfume and deodorant are so popular. Joey, now this guy, he's a hungry man. He says, love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries without taking any of theirs. Sarah, she's 8 years old. She says, love is when somebody hurts you and you get so mad, but you don't yell at him because you know it would hurt their feelings. Isn't that sweet? Joanna, age 6, she says, love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip or two before giving it to him to make sure the taste is okay. Destiny, 8 years old, she says, love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt and then the guy wears it for you every day. And then Anne, age 7, she says, love is when you hold hands and sit beside each other in the cafeteria at school and share your chocolate milk. What a precious thought. Kids sure do have a funny way of putting things. They see the world from a whole different perspective. One of the things that I always like to do when we go on vacation is give my kids a camera. So my wife and I, we take pictures of things that seem to be important to us. But the things your kids think are important are vastly different than what you think is important. You'll see a beautiful architecture, architecturally perfect building, and you'll take a picture of it with the sun setting, and it's gorgeous to you. And your kid will find a smooth rock and take 5 pictures of it. And so it's not so bad in the digital world, but back when we had 110 film, that would cost you like $10 for those pictures of those rocks. But it's interesting to see the world from your child's perspective of what love looks like. So as we continue talking about love, let's look back at Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Scripture says, "Be devoted to one another in a brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves." Sister Tamara was telling us about that. So if you remember, love is active and love does something good to others. I want to share with you 2 examples of what love is. Both are examples of love. One is maybe better than the other, but they're 2 examples of love. One guy I read about apparently loves football. Does anybody else like football in here? Okay, so this one guy, he loves football. This unnamed man in Tempe, Arizona, loves the Super Bowl so much, he shelled out almost $25,000 to buy a 98-inch LG high-definition TV. 98-inch, that's pretty big. If you remember the screen we had up here, that was 103 inches, so 98 inches is huge. So this guy spent 25 grand to buy this to see the Atlanta Falcons face the New England Patriots. So I said, 25 grand for a TV, that's impossible. So you know what I did, what any good man would do? I looked on Amazon. And sure enough, for $24,999, you can look it up right now, there's a 98-inch LG TV. Now, notice it doesn't say the man was married, because I don't know how my wife would feel about me doing something like that. And also, it doesn't say whether he was an Atlantic Falcons fan or he was a New England Patriots fan. And for the sake of that $25,000 TV, I hope he wasn't a Falcons fan. Now, on the other hand, there's a preacher, and his name is Pastor Hoyer. He lives in Webb City, Missouri, just pretty close to here. He spent $2,500 about and went on a mission trip to India with 5 other pastors in order to preach the gospel. They visited over 100 villages in 10 days. They endured 20 hours of flying, a 9-hour train ride in order to take the gospel to those people. They preached in the mountains and in the lowlands using interpreters because no one could understand their English. The pastors then saw 188 people accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior and be baptized. What do you think about that? Is that awesome or what? $2,500 and 188 people are saved. So, which is the example of biblical love? What I'm saying is it's not bad to buy a TV. That's not necessarily a wrong thing. But which one is better, getting people saved or buying a TV? The difference is one is a self-love and one is a self-sacrificing love. So in the message today, as we kind of get ready for this Valentine's Day week, I want to share 3 short points with you. The first is love is kind. If you look back at Romans chapter 12, it says, verse 10, it says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love." You know, you may not have $1 million. You may not have a bunch of strength or a great talent or a great gift, but it doesn't cost you anything to be kind. It doesn't cost you anything to be kind. And as a Christian, we should be some of the kindest people the world has ever seen. Your goal should be the kindest person. It should be to be the kindest person in your entire neighborhood. I mean, you should walk around singing zippity-doo-dah because you're going to heaven someday. Well, maybe that's a little elaborate, but we should be kind people. We shouldn't be rude. We're supposed to love one another. And so this says love is kind. Kindness doesn't cost you anything, but maybe a couple thoughts. So our goal as a Christian should be the kindest people in our neighborhood. We should be the kindest people at our workplace. Think about where you work right now. Think about the nicest person you know. Is it you? Something to think about. We should be the nicest customer at the bank and the greatest customer at Walmart. I've been behind a couple of you guys at Walmart before. And I don't know about being the nicest customers at Walmart. Folks, that's what we have to do. If we can be kind, we can do that. We should be nice and kind and friendly to everyone everywhere we go. Because love is kind. Love does kind things. And love is thoughtful of others. It's been said that kindness has saved more people than eloquence, preaching, and anything else. You know, people will want to be around you if you can just be kind. The world teaches us that one good turn deserves another. But the Bible tells us that we can always do good to others, whether there's something good in it for us or not. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 puts it this way. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. Anybody convicted yet? Make sure nobody pays back wrong for wrong. But always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Love is kind. That's a great verse. The second way we can demonstrate our love to each other is through giving. When you love somebody, you give something. Whether that's giving of your heart, whether that's giving of the things that God has blessed you with, but you give something. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 6 through 8, Paul is talking to these Corinthians and he says, "So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others." So Paul tells him, he says, you guys have done a great job in a lot of things. You've done a great job in faith and speech and knowledge. But I want you to also excel in your giving, which is another way that we demonstrate love. In this scripture, Paul's talking about giving financially or giving money assistance. And I think Christians, as Christians, we have a big problem with that. A lot of people have a big problem with helping financially. And I don't really know why. I don't know if it's that we're selfish, like we think, like, this is my money, I worked hard for it, I'm not giving it to anybody. Or if we use the excuse of, well, I don't want to give money to this person because what if they do something bad with it? Or sometimes we just say, well, I can't give any money, I don't even have enough for myself. You know, some of the most giving people are the poorest people in the world. The poorest people in the world. I used to do church on the bridge in Austin, Texas, and I was there, and these people were homeless. They had nothing for themselves. But a lot of them would open up their soda or beverage of choice, and they would drink some of it, and then would give it to another person to be able to drink some of it. They would share it. If they had food on their plate, they would eat part of their food, and then they would share it with somebody else. These people had nothing. But yet, to somebody else, they had everything because they shared what little they had. If you think about it this way, here's the test I have. Is when I feel if I'm led to give or not give to somebody, I pray about it. I say, God, if you want me to give to this person, let me know. Lord, answer my prayer. And God will usually answer that prayer pretty quickly, and you will know. And that's one of the ways that I use. But I never give selfishly, because if you give selfishly, then you're in bad shape, because I think about Jesus. What if Jesus gave selfishly? What if Jesus just gave a little bit? But that's not what he did, right? He gave his whole life. You think about John 3:16, and it just doesn't say that for God so loved the world that he gave his worst or average or something that was okay. It says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Mark 9:41 is a beautiful verse. Does anybody have water at their house? Everybody have water? Good. Listen to this verse. If anyone gives you even a cup of water because you belong to the Messiah, I tell you the truth, that person will surely be rewarded. You know, a cup of water on a hot day or a cup of water when you're thirsty, sometimes there is nothing better you could ever want. Matthew 25:40 says, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. If we love to the Lord, we'll give to his people and we will help others. So what I'm trying to tell you today is if we love people the way that God tells us to love people and love propels us to do actions, every one of us have gifts and talents and we'll use those to help the community. And so whether that's simple like helping somebody move or helping somebody pack or whether that's fixing their car, or helping them work on their house, whatever it is, skill or talent you have, you should use to glorify God's kingdom. I read a story about a lady who did something amazing. I think this is a great idea. I want to start doing it. This lady, what she did was she carried $3 in her wallet and she carried $3 in her car. And she kept those monies in there. And she would give that $3 to the first person that asked her whether they needed help for food or whatever it was. She wouldn't give them any more. She wouldn't give them any less. And she'd give it to them with a great attitude. So if the person said, ma'am, would you be able to help me out with some food? The person would pull that $3 out and say, absolutely, I'd love to help you. Now for that person that's asking for money, they're expecting to get a quarter or some change out of your pocket. But when you hand them $3, that's enough to get a cheeseburger somewhere. That's enough to get a drink maybe or a french fry or something like that. And so then what she'd do is she'd refill that and put it back in her car. She would never spend it no matter how poor she was. Those $3 that she would refill every time were to help the first person in need that came up to her. Kind of a neat idea. It reminds me of what Proverbs 19:17 says. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. Brothers and sisters, it's not about how much we give. That's about how we give with our heart. Remember, love can be kind. It's easy to do. And love should give. The third thing I want to share to you is love is forgiving. Who in the congregation today has ever needed some forgiveness? Right? We've all needed that. Well, otherwise we wouldn't need Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Every one of us has needed forgiveness. But how often do we give forgiveness to other people? How often do we ask for forgiveness? You want to love your Valentine. It's nice to buy her teddy bears and chocolates and all that stuff. But you know what's better is being able to communicate and spend quality time with the one you love. You see, if there's issues between you, it's hard to communicate and spend quality time with the one you love. So forgiveness may be the best present you can give this Valentine's Day. Think of forgiveness like this. Has anybody ever had an open wound or a cut before? Sure we have, right? And so think of forgiveness this way. You have a cut, and if you had asked for forgiveness, it would be like putting some Neosporin on that, putting a little Band-Aid over it, and if you never brought it up again, it would be like letting it heal. But so often what we do is we say we're going to forgive the person, so we put a little Neosporin on that cut, but then something comes up, and we bring that issue back up. And you know what we do? We pick the scab off. And so now they're bleeding again. So they might ask for forgiveness again. Who knows? But you're picking at that wound by not forgiving them. You know what happens after you peel off the scab so many times? You get a scar. And you know what a scar leads to? A memory and a hurt heart. Folks, forgiving people is one of the greatest gifts you can give anybody. Don't pick at them. Don't rip up the scab. Don't leave a scar. If you say you're going to forgive somebody, really forgive them and move on. Drop it and don't bring it up again. There's no reason. I'm thankful for what God tells us of how he forgives us. He says in Psalm 103 verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions and our sin for us. If you don't think you need to forgive somebody and you have a chip on your shoulder today, I want to share this scripture with you from Matthew 6:15. It says, but if we forgive not men of their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive you of your trespasses. Folks, I don't know about you, but I want to be forgiven by Jesus for the things that I've done wrong. And if I want to be forgiven, that means I have to forgive others. Maybe you're sitting there and thinking, well, you know what, Pastor? You don't understand what people have done to me. They don't deserve my forgiveness. You don't deserve God's forgiveness either. But you know what he said in Romans 5:8? It says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's not about deserving. It's about loving. This Valentine's Day isn't just about cupids and hearts and candy. It's about real love issues. It's about being kind to the people you meet. My challenge to you is I want you to be the kindest person in your neighborhood. I want you to be a person that gives of your time, of your finances, of your talents to bless those that need blessing. And I want you to use love to forgive the people you have issues with. And so those wounds can start to heal and not become scabs. Love means a plethora of different things in the world. I put this presentation together that I want to kind of close with and share with you so you can see some of the great things that love does. Josh, would you play that for us, please? Love worships God. Look at all those people worshiping the Lord. Isn't that awesome? What more can you say about that? Man and woman pledging their love to each other, to God, to be married. Love for families. Just take a look at these families that I have pictures of. Look at their faces and their posture. That's love. friendship. Where would we be without friends? That's Winter Jam. 15,000 people praising God. I love to teach. Sister Carol loves to teach. Marital love. What a beautiful thing. Love for those that are sick and dying. Family. That was the day Gary was baptized. First time he got together with his whole family in years. Young love, Shannon and I. We're 18. Judy and Bobby at their weddings, sharing a little cake. Josh and Chris serving, showing the people at Holiday Resort that they love them. Us showing the world that we love Jesus and we love our neighbors by singing Easter hymns in the park. The Alzheimer's walk. The love a dad has for his children. Serving the homeless, look at all that work. Going into buying gifts and sharing with them. Love for children, our vacation Bible schools. Love to serve people in need. This is where we're putting together meals with ESU. Be able to serve people in other countries. Sisterly love. Country and our soldiers. Our love for our kids and the Lord with Easter. A love for God so strong you give your entire life for it. Folks, love means a lot of different things. What does love mean to you? To me, love's an action word. The Bible says in John 13:35, it says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So as you leave here this Valentine's Day week, don't just say you love somebody. Show them you love them. Encourage one another. Help one another. Be kind to one another. Forgive one another. How long has it been since you humbled yourself before the Lord and said, "God, I love you. Use me"? Let's stop talking about love and let's start doing it this week. Would you please stand and bow your heads as we go to Lord in prayer? Dear Lord in heaven, we come before you today, God, with hearts for people. God, the whole reason you came was to seek and to save those that are lost. Let us love people the way you love them. Help us to be kind to our family members. Help us to be encouraging and forgiving. Help us to be giving. God, break our hearts and take away the pain and the anger and the frustration and fill us with the love that only you can fill us with. God, if there's somebody that needs to come and pray, I pray, God, you give them the strength to come and pray. So we just listen to this song, Christians Pray. Oh God.